This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Let's keep rolling. Let's get these calls in before my guest comes. Before the break, I told you I'd explain my NBA fandom. It doesn't really matter. You know, like I said, it's not about me. This is so much bigger than my fandom, and I'm not in the coalition. There were definitely times in my life where I hated the Knicks or Knicks fans or certain Knicks teams or, you know, felt more strongly about my New Jersey Nets, who abandoned New Jersey and went to Brooklyn. And I understand why it happened and they needed to. But when I was a wee little lad, like Mike, I like to be like Mike. Yeah, Michael Jordan. Everybody wanted to be Michael Jordan. Everybody was a Jordan fan. Even some of these Knicks fans right now were Jordan's fan, Jordan Bulls fans when they were kids. You know, and I've told you guys so many times, I did this all on my own. My dad didn't make me a fan of anything. My mom didn't make me a fan of anything. My brother didn't influence me. I looked at the TV, and I was a young kid that liked sports, naturally played sports, was drawn to it. And so the TV is what dictated my fandom. I was a complete front runner bandwagon fan, but like, who cares? Like, we're talking about a five-year-old kid. So I was a Bulls fan at first. I had Bulls hats and jackets and, you know, in the 90s, I was rooting for the Chicago Bulls and Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen and, I don't know, Luke Longley and Tony Kukoc and Horace Grant and Steve Kerr and Steve Jackson and those guys, or Phil Jackson and those guys. And as I got a little bit older, obviously, you know, Jordan retired and went to play baseball, and Jordan came back and played for the Wizards. And when you do all that and you're, you know, your favorite player, the reason that you're watching the team and the sport and getting into it is doing all that, you kind of fall out of it. So I had a choice to make. Do I follow Jordan to the Wizards? Do I stick with the Bulls, or do I stick with the home team? I am not from New York. I am from New Jersey, born and raised, still living in New Jersey. I have been coming up here to New York every year since I was a little kid. I've been working here in New York for over 11 years, but like, I'm a Jersey guy, Garden State guy, so I picked the Nets because I already was like leaning towards the Nets and playing video games and picking the Nets and had some Nets merch and hats, and man, that old school red and white and blue Nets uniform, that Drazen Petrovic uniform, the days of Kerry Kittles and Keith Van Horn, and then what turned into Jason Kidd and Richard Jefferson and Kenyon Martin and Vince Carter, like those Nets I started to lock in on as a kid. And, you know, then the Nets were pretty bummy and no one was going to Continental Airlines Arena, and they had to move the team, and the team went to Prudential Center in Newark and then ultimately to Barclays Center, and I boycotted the team. I stopped watching the team. I didn't wear any Nets stuff. I was out. I was just like young and mad, and I even was mad at Hove. I was mad at Jay-Z because Jay-Z was moving the Nets to BK, ball so hard. I'm like, nah, that's corny. Like, now, you know, we don't have an NBA team. But my now wife was my college girl at the time, and for my birthday, she bought us tickets to the Nets-Bulls series back in 2013, 12? I don't even remember now. So long ago. It was the one when Nate Robinson went off, but you know, I sat in the nosebleeds all the way at the top of Barclays Center where it feels like you fall forward and you're going to land face first on the court. And I was like, okay, I understand now. You know, with my Darren Williams jersey on, I was like, I understand now. They brought this team to Brooklyn for greener pastures. And when they finally get good one day, maybe they'll get some good players. And then they did that, right? They kind of jumped the gun too fast with the trade with the Boston Celtics that literally helped make the Boston Celtics that the Knicks are fighting right now. They took on Paul Pierce, who we were just talking about, and KG, and thought that they could, you know, get something out of them. That was stupid. And then they had the KD Kyrie era with James Harden blow up in their face. And yeah, I'm still a Nets fan, but like I just know that like now is not their time. I went to more Devils games than I went to Nets games this year. And so like for me to get on the fan and act like I'm a Nets fan and I hate the Knicks and it's all about the Nets and all, like it would be corny. I'm a standalone host, and it's such a small group of Nets fans, and this Nets world will be rebuilt. You know, I was someone doing Nets podcasts and content and really pushing the Nets brand forward when they had the players and they were winning and they were part of the conversation, but they are outside of the conversation now, and that's all I've got on it. Let's go to Dr. Bill in Saddlebrook. What's up, Dr. Bill? You're back on the fan.
What's going on, Mike Keith? How's he doing?
I'm good, Doc. How are you feeling?
I am feeling phenomenal. Kids are great. Grandkids are great. My Knicks, I feel like I'm back in the 90s. I'm 65 going on 32. Oh, God. I tell you what, I'm fired up right now. It's keeping me up at night, these overtimes, and life is great. Or as you say, it's a wonderful time of the year.
Yeah, it's the most wonderful time. And I know you're a Knicks fan and you're loving watching these games and hearing the reaction. I know you listen to the fan all day, so you're locked in.
So I'm a big 90s Knicks fan. I mean, the Oakman, Oakley was my man, you know, Blackman. I mean, oh, God, Charles Smith. How would you compare? Can you go player for player and give me a like player from each of those eras now?
Give you a comparison of what these players are like now to those guys.
Who was the guard of the 90s that reminds you of Quigley?
Brunson.
You know, Brunson.
I would say Starks was the star and was the guard that, you know, led him, but they don't play alike at all. But you know, everybody had that John Starks 3 jersey, and you know, he was leading the team. Now you have a big in Karl Anthony Towns, who people are saying is, you know, the best big scorer that the Knicks have had since Patrick Ewing. You don't really have a Charles Oakley type. There really isn't a Anthony Mason type, but like the two wings that the Knicks have right now with OG and Mikal Bridges, like we're seeing the best of them, and we're seeing why these guys have both played in the finals and won. Like they're raising their level of competition, and you understand why they traded for both of them. It was smart to get both of those guys. You know, Josh Hart is the glue guy. He's the literal heart of the team. They're different. You know, I know we always want to harken back to the 90s Knicks, but these guys are different. And what I will say about them is they got tough really fast. They hardened really fast from the Pistons series to this series. People were questioning their toughness, and now I think they're taking on the bravado of the city of New Yorkers, being hard-nosed, being physical, being tough, and not being punked by the Celtics that everybody said was, you know, Goliath to their David.
Right. Well, I like the fact that everybody was getting on Tibbs about, you know, playing them too hard, playing them too long. And they're outlasting teams in the fourth. You know, they're just, I mean, I think his methods, Madness methods, had some real worthiness. I mean, it's really coming through. It seems like they're outlasting teams in the fourth. They're just, I mean, Bridges is just out of control. Each one of these guys' heart is truly the heart. You know, Towns, it just, I mean, it's so enjoyable to watch them. You know, somebody came on earlier today and said that you don't want to say you need to see another championship before you die, because God knows I'm 65 going on 22. You know, I'd like to, I don't want to call it a dynasty and touch the money before it's there, but, it's good to feel good about this team.
Exactly. It's been so long. Dr. Bill, you're the man. Thanks for the call. That's my chiropractor, the best in the business. Saddlebrook Chiropractic's Dr. Bill Thimmel. It's been so long that you could feel this way consistently about the Knicks. That's what it is. It's been so long that you could even actually dream of going to an Eastern Conference Finals. And the dream, like, there's a legit pathway. You can see it right now. So, 888-808-1019. Josh is in the Bronx on the fan. What's up, Josh?
I'm telling you, Keith, it's like that old Elvis Presley song. It's now or never. You know, it's awesome, baby. Keep up the good work, man. I know you've been holding on to me long, but it's okay. Let's go, Knicks. Let's stay at the Garden and wrap it up there and then go on to the next round. Thank you, Keith.
Thank you, Josh. Appreciate you holding and waiting, and I got to you. And yeah, it's now or never. The Knicks have to win this series now. There is no, oh, they gave a good effort. Oh, they gave us some good vibes. They gave us a good feeling. Like, they have to win now. You took the first two games. Now it's flipped. If you lose the series, you blew a 2-0 lead. Gary's in Waterbury on the fan. What's up, Gary?
I smash teeth at your beef, no relief. I step on stage.
The girl scream like I'm Keith.
Yo, I love to see the Knicks win this series and pump their chests out like they won something and then lose the next one to the Pacers just to rip their heart out.
But they would have won something. They would have advanced to the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time since 2000.
Yeah, everyone gets a medal, right? We all get medals now. And, yo, my team is the Rockets, and my boys like the Spurs. That's just from playing, because we used to play NBA, the Jams. So we had to choose the teams. And I thought for sure Williams was going to blow it yesterday, 100%. I would have bet everything that I ever had that he was going to blow it yesterday.
Bro, and, when they first put him up there that he was warming up in the bullpen, I started sweating. And then when he came out of the bullpen, you could hear fans like audibly moan and groan in there. And I was like, all right, I got to go to work. Thanks for the call, Gary. 888-808-1019. I didn't see him pitch. I ran out and I listened to Dave and Susan call it. And I was in the car with both hands on the steering wheel like, please, please, please. And he got through it. He got through it. And you know what? He has to. And that's how I came around on it last night. Right? Because I started to pile up all of these things that Devin Williams wasn't going to be able to overcome. He has to. He's on the team. He's making $8 million. He's a high leverage reliever. He's always been that. Like, there is no running from it. That is athletics. That is competition. And that is what the Yankees are going to do. They are going to find spots to put him in. If he fails, he fails. If he fails, the team fails. And it's May. So even though I'm looking far down the line, you can't. It's hard, but you can't look at, like, what if he blows an opportunity in October? What if he has a great opportunity and wins in October? Jerry in Jersey City on the fan. You got it. You're in there. Jerry.
Hey, sorry. I just wanted to – Keith, how you doing, man? First time, long time.
Thanks. I'm good.
I just wanted to say that Aaron Judge is the king of New York still. I know Knicks are on the brink of a 3-0 start to the series. I don't want to jinx anything, but, you know, it's still Aaron Judge's town. And Jalen's going to have his turn, but just not yet. Not yet.
Ah, Jerry, thanks for the call, but we can't do that. I love Judge. I do. I quietly yesterday was like, oh, no, Judge didn't catch that ball. That's not going to be good. Huh. Judge's on-base streak ended. Oh, the Yankees, on the same night that the Knicks beat the Celtics, the Yankees walked it off to take the series, and it wasn't like Judge saved the day. When you watch that Knicks game at the end of the game, Captain Clutch was there again. Cape was on again. Who was at the free throw line? Who was hitting shots again? Who was the problem? Who was the closer? Like, it is okay. I'm a Yankee fan, diehard. I'm not a Knicks fan at all. And I told y'all this. At Fanatics Fest last year, the reception that that man got when he walked through, you would think that it was Michael Jackson, Justin Bieber, the Beatles. I'm like, damn. This is the line to meet Jalen Brunson? He took less money. He became the captain. He won the first ever Clutch Player of the Year award. And now he's a hell of a problem for any team in the NBA playoffs because they know it. They know when you get into that fourth quarter, that bad man's coming. He's a demon. He is the king of New York. Judge is too, but like there are kingdoms, right? Lindor, I remember having this conversation last year. Lindor became a king of New York last year in the Mets kingdom. But sometimes the kingdoms rise and they go back down and some are bigger than others and they shift. Right now, there are people that do not watch the Knicks that are now Jalen Brunson fans rolling with the Knicks, and a lot of that is from this guy. And he had a signature moment against the Pistons. He's had signature moments already against the Celtics. I can't take anything away from him. He is the king of New York if we had to pick one. But we don't have to pick one. Judge is a king. Lindor is a king. Juan Soto is not a king of New York at all. 888-808-1019. Coming up next, Christian Winfield. From the Daily News, we're going to talk Knicks with him. This is Keith McPherson, your nighttime host on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. I'm doing this till 12. BRB. Uh-huh. Joining us right now, my guy Christian Winfield at Chris Flash, New York Knicks beat writer for the New York Daily News. You've heard him on with me a couple times. He's great. Let's get into the Knicks conversation. Chris, what's good?
Yo, man, I finally touched back home after an eventful trip to Boston. And I tell you now, I don't know how many people thought the Knicks would be coming back home up 2-0 on the reigning champs, but it's a good time to be a Knicks fan, man. If the Knicks can close this thing out and sweep a team that swept them in the season series, brother, I don't even know if there's going to be a Madison Square Garden to play the conference finals. And Knicks fans going to burn that arena down. It's not going to make it past the week, I promise.
When you touch back down in the towns and you looked around the concrete jungle, the air was different. The vibes were different. There was a lot of orange and blue around, huh? You never seen it like that in a recent time.
Hey, man, I know you've seen the little video of the Knicks fans at the Celtics Arena giving security hell, man. It was crazy. Hey, Knicks fans are traveling now. I've seen some Knicks fans in Detroit. I've seen them in Boston. If they go to Indiana, they're going to be there too. Man, this fan base is crazy. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, but that's good. Like, that's the thing. You know, I just took a call talking about Jalen Brunson is not the king of New York. And I'm like, you can't say he isn't. Like, I don't understand how you can't say that. Like, just stop that and don't try and rival Judge, right? Because there are kingdoms. And honestly, the Yankee universe is huge. That's why they don't call it Yankee Nation. It's huge. It's full of fans from across the world that just watch the Yankees dominate. But, like, the Knicks fan, there's some global fans, but a lot of them are former New Yorkers that moved elsewhere. The Knicks fan is built of New Yorkers, like real New York people, right? So, like, Brunson is the king of New York because that Knicks fandom and the Knicks fan base is huge. It's not split. I'm a Nets fan. I know it. I've always known it. I wouldn't even give it 10% of the people in this area that watch basketball. The Knicks fan is massive. The Knicks fan base is huge. And right now, they're on one because they just got two big wins that no one expected them to get, that everyone told them that they couldn't have. You saw it. I mean, I'll let you speak on it. But, like, that battery that is in the back of the Knicks fan as well as the players, it's rare. And my whole thing tonight has been the Knicks must win the series now. The Knicks have to win the series now.
Yeah, you know, I remember the days where the starting lineup had Alexi Shved and Langston Galloway and Lou Amundson and all these other guys. So for Knicks to be here from then, I mean, there's some fans that didn't know if they were going to see a championship run in their lifetime, and now this team is inspiring hope. So, you know, it's a big day for the city. Now, in terms of what the Knicks are going to have to do to close this thing out and protect home court, number one, they can start by not digging themselves a 20-point hole. I had to go around the locker room yesterday just to ask them if they need to spot the Celtics 20 points at the start of these games just to play their best basketball coming out of the gate, because these guys don't somehow know how to come to the game and play, you know, at open and tip. It's been something that they've been dealing with all season, just slow starts, you know, and then even sometimes slow coming out of halftime. They kind of pick and choose what quarter they want to play or when they want to start playing. They're not going to have that luxury much more. I mean, you already got two come-from-behind victories over the reigning champs in a row. I guarantee you it's not going to happen a third time. You cannot continue to dig yourself these holes. On top of that,
you're going to have to account for a healthy Kristaps Porzingis. I don't think there's any way that Porzingis, who missed the first two, left the first game early due to illness, only was limited in game two yesterday, only played, I think, 15 or so minutes. I think Porzingis is going to come back and play a full game on Saturday. That's not concrete. He's obviously going to be questionable. But I think coming back to MSG, having a couple of days off in between games, that's been an issue the Knicks have had, you know, trouble with all season in terms of stretch five, specifically Porzingis, who had, I think, 8 threes the last time he played a whole game against these guys. So they're going to have to deal with that. They're going to have to deal with a team that's, you know, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, they're playing for a lot right now, especially when you consider the numbers that have been just really terrible on their end. You're talking about guys who can't find the rim, who are shooting a terrible percentage from downtown, who aren't even really trying to get to the rack. They've got to figure something out, and they're the defending champs. You got a good coach in Joe Mazzulla, so you're going to figure it out. But I said that coming into the series, you know, the way OG and Mikhail defended Cade Cunningham really gave me confidence that coming into the second round that they would have a handle on the Celtics' two All-Stars. And once that happens, now you're looking at a team that, as we see, is really heavily reliant on the three-point shot when you don't have those two guys who can beat defenders off the dribble. Mikhail and OG are not giving up any ground. You're not beating those guys off the dribble. And what happens is now you're getting the ball out of your main guy's hands and you're forcing other guys to beat you, like Derek White and Drew Holiday and those guys. Those guys are only as good as Tatum and Brown can make them, because Tatum and Brown they draw so much attention. But if you're able to guard them straight up, and then on top of that, you know, Mitchell Robinson, you can't say enough about him. Plus 19 off the bench yesterday. The Knicks, this is my favorite stat of the season. The Knicks are a bottom 10 defense before Mitchell Robinson returns on February 28th. And they're a top 10 defense right after he comes back. It's no surprise that the Knicks are more competitive with him on the floor in these games. But it is a surprise that you're able to come back from down 20, beat the reigning champs twice on their own home floor. Now, the issue is the Knicks have not been a good home team, especially in the playoffs. The only games the Pistons won were at MSG. So the Knicks are going to have to find a way to protect home court. But you got this fan base that we just talked about. You got Tom Thibodeau, who's ready to ride his guys into 40, 45-plus minutes to get a win. I think we see a really, really huge game here at MSG on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm with you. We're on the phone right now with Christian Winfield from the New York Daily News. As you can hear and tell, he's a hoophead. He can talk it. I've been following his stuff for a while now. And I know that with this Game 3, it's crucial, right? Everything I've been saying tonight is that the Knicks got to finish this series. And if they take a 3-0 lead, like, and force the Celtics to win four in a row, like, you feel really good about that. But their style has to change. And in a series, you expect different games. You talked about them being down by 20 to get going. They got to come out of the gate. They got to come out in Madison Square Garden, feed off the fans' energy. I've already called for the fans to be turning up and not wait for the moment. Like, you make the moment. You get excited over the littlest thing, from a rebound to a steal to a dunk. Like, the Knicks got to come out and assert themselves. They haven't had a lead for long in this series. They have to play their best game. You can argue that they haven't played good and were able to steal these games. And that's what the Celtics fans are leaning on. Oh, the Celtics are eventually going to play good. Like you said, even though you made a guarantee about it not happening again, you do have a very famous tweet now. You got to put this tweet on a T-shirt. If the Knicks do actually win this series, the turning point, you tweeted out on May 5th at 8:41 p.m., Celtics up 20, this one's over. No, it was not. And now it's historic that they had back-to-back 20-point comeback wins. They got to come out and have a little bit of a lead and let the thought creep into the Celtics' mind that, hey, you know, we're really in one, and maybe we just can't outright beat these guys.
Yeah, you know, that tweet was so crazy that Josh Hart yesterday asked me why I didn't tweet it again when they were down 20.
why'd you go to the well again for the second game?
Nah, it was crazy. I was like, you know, I don't want...
Going on.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
But it jinxed it. I should have honestly tweeted. I tweeted that little meme where the guy's sweating over deciding whether or not to press the red button or not. Listen, this is a team that, like, I think part of it is having to go through that really difficult Detroit Pistons series where you got a team that's really just out there where they're not better than you on paper, but they're just going to try to physicality their way to a win over you. And it worked in a couple of those games. Detroit is built to fight you until you give up. And the Knicks kind of had to look themselves in the mirror and decide, hey, we're not going to cave to this physicality. Actually, we're going to exceed it and match it ourselves. They need to take that same mindset and bring it to the first quarter and actually play basketball to start these games, you know, like they're down 20 in a way, because they can't continue to spot the Celtics. I know we're joking about it. Oh, they did it twice. They can keep doing it. You're playing with fire when you do it that way. And I asked everybody the same question yesterday. Do you want to spot the Knicks? Do you want to spot the Celtics 20 points when you start a game? And everybody had the same answer. No, this is something that we've got to figure out. And just because we can and have shown the ability to respond to adversity and come back doesn't mean we need to shoot ourselves in the foot in both feet to start each of these games, right? This is a team that knows that it needs to play better basketball. And when you ask everybody, none of the players feel like they've put together a full, complete game. None of the players feel like they've shown the full potential of what this team can do. That's scary because they just beat the reigning champs twice. And on top of that, this is something that I noticed over the last few days, right? Usually, especially when I cover, you know, let's take the Nets, for example. Covering the Nets, always the same two, maybe one of three different players or two of three different players at the podium, right? It'd be Kevin Durant, either Kyrie or James Harden or something like that. With the Knicks, you're always going to have Jalen Brunson post-game, but next to him, one day it might be Kat, one day it might be Mikal Bridges, one day it might be OG Anunoby. Yesterday it was Josh Hart. Josh Hart had 23 points, 3-6 shooting from downtown. The Knicks have so many different weapons and so many different ways that they can get at you that, you know, maybe it's okay if Karl Anthony Towns isn't taking 20 shots a game, because it could be OG's night one day. It could be Mikhail's night. And talking about Mikhail, this guy, when we think about clutch basketball, clutch is always something that you think of on the offensive end. This guy's coming up with steals, game-saving blocks. And then on top of that, maybe he's not able to buy a basket in the first three quarters. Man had all 14 of his points in the fourth quarter yesterday, shot 60% in the fourth quarter. You know, this is the Knicks are a clutch, gritty basketball team. They're showing you that. Now it's just a matter of, can you get the monkey off your back and win, protect home court? It's going to be tough, right? Because the Celtics know if they go down 0-3, their season is basically over. So they're going to come out hungry and desperate. If the Knicks are able to match that, you're talking about a Knicks team that might be able to make a finals run for the first time this century, which is insane to think about.
You queued me up for some. You mentioned Josh Hart and the 23 points he had last night and him being on the podium. Something I was saying on air last night after the game was, like, the Celtics want to win their way. They have shot threes. They have made threes. They are so stubborn and arrogant to think that that's going to work, and they just chuck up threes, and that's what they do, and that's they're analytically driven, and that's what tells them, hey, if we hit more threes than you hit twos, whatever. But on the other hand, the Knicks, they'll take what you give them, and they're prepared. They're ready for whatever style of basketball you want to play, whatever's open. If they got to shoot, they can shoot. If they got to get in the paint, like you could tell early in the game yesterday, was all right, it's time for Cat to go to work in the paint, going, you know, to the rim. Now, I attribute that to coaching. Can you speak about the coaching advantage that they have? I mean, Tom Thibodeau is 30 years older than Joe Mazzulla. He's been at this a long time. I gave him the big shot of the night last night because I'm like, yo, this guy used to coach up there. This guy's from Connecticut. Like, he has come in with a game plan, and you're seeing the execution of the game plan late in those games. And just a week ago, people were on the fan talking about this guy getting fired if they don't beat the Pistons. Now, I took a call tonight saying giving him a lifetime contract. Like, talk about the advantage that they have with Tibbs at the helm.
You know, let me lay it out to you this way, because it's funny we're talking about three-point shooting. When you walk into the season this year with the Knicks and you go down the roster, you got Towns, you got Bridges, you got Brunson, Anunoby, you got Hart off the bench, you got Shamit, McBride, Payne. That's now eight players that I've listed that have shot about 40% or better in at least one of the last 4 years, right? So you've got eight players who are out there capable of getting up a lot of threes. And for the first few games of the season, I'm like, hey, this team's only shooting 28, 32 threes. Like, why aren't they jacking up more threes? Like, it's a three-point frenzy. Threes are all the rage. And this is exactly why, right? Tom Thibodeau all along was like, hey, you know, just because you shoot a lot of threes doesn't mean it's good basketball, right? Just because you have a lot of three-point shooters doesn't mean you have to go out there and pretty much predicate your whole game plan on it. No, you make the defense respond to what you want to do. You react to what the defense is doing. You move the ball, and you generate the best shot available, right? And we're kind of seeing two completely different approaches to offense. We're seeing two different stylistic matchups right here. And, you know, for the Knicks, there's been a lot of criticism. You know, forget the minutes discussion. There's been a lot of criticism with Tom about just offense and lack of creativity and, you know, not utilizing certain players in a certain way or whatever you want to have it. But at the end of the day, this team, and especially in this city, is a results-oriented business, right? And they don't care how they get it done. They don't care if it's ugly. They don't care, you know, if it's a lot of isolation or if Jalen's dribbling the ball for so on, or if Cat doesn't get this many touches, or if guys aren't shooting the threes that you want. If it's resulting in wins, the Knicks are going to ride with it. And Tom Thibodeau so far has gotten the job done. He's played his guys' minutes. He's got the reason he's played his guys' minutes so that they could be able to play, say, 50 minutes in an overtime win over the Celtics, right? So they could be able to not wear down. A player like Mikal Bridges, for example, Mikal is a guy who, as his minutes total for a game creeps up, his performance gets better. He gets better as he gets more tired, or not tired, as he accrues minutes, because he's been conditioned that way. All these guys have been conditioned to be able to play heavy minutes, and now you're kind of seeing that versus some of these other teams where guys might start to wear down because they're not accustomed to playing all these minutes. So I think Tom, number one, coming into the playoffs, absolutely, there was the noise about, hey, you know, if Tom doesn't get out of the first round, you know, his job might be in jeopardy. And that's fair, right? You could say that about any coach. You got coaches that got fired. You know, look at Taylor Jenkins and a bunch of other guys that got fired before the playoffs even started. But now you're up 2-0 against the reigning champions in a series that nobody had the Knicks coming out of. I don't think any single person had the Knicks coming out of the series, let alone winning games 1 and 2. And you have to give the head coach a lot of credit for sticking to his guns. He didn't cave when the media or when fans said, hey, he's got to change his ways. He didn't cave on the minutes. He stuck to what he knows. And look at where this team is at now. I mean, obviously the series isn't over yet, right? But, you know, I was doing an interview with somebody else, and he was telling me that the coaching mismatch was in Joe Mazzulla's favor. I'm like, how is that even possible? Joe Mazzulla is a relatively fresh head coach compared to the wealth of basketball knowledge that is Tom Thibodeau. Tom doesn't even leave. You've got players who are begging Tom Thibodeau to leave the practice facility just so he can go enjoy his house. They're talking about his house as this amazing place that he never goes to because he's in Tarrytown from sunup to sundown. That's the type of animal that the Celtics are dealing with right now. And their best bet right now is going to have to be this team being unprepared to handle protect home court in game 3, because right now it's looking like the Knicks have their number.
Yeah, and he's a film guy. He's a film study guy. And all these guys have talked about how they watch film. Even after the game last night, they're not talking about, you know, feeling great about two wins or whatever. They're talking about getting back to watching film and getting better. Last thing for you, you know, because you mentioned it with the conditioning, they're very much in shape. And this quote I've used all week, fatigue makes a coward of us all. And now you're seeing the Boston Celtics not be able to put the ball in the hoop for like 7 or 8 minutes or whatever it was. And then you're seeing that they are banged up. They have multiple guys that are hurt. Kristaps is sick. You know, Tatum has the wrist. Like, we've gone through all the injuries with Brown and with Drew Holiday. I mean, there's even an issue now on the other side of the East with the Cavs. The Cavs being without Darius Garland, Evan Mobley, and DeAndre Hunter, they're going to try and come back. But, like, we're starting to see a pathway here where the Knicks are up two. They got to win two before the Celtics win four. And if so, they would have home court advantage against whoever comes out of the Pacers series. And most of us are looking at it like, yeah, it's the Pacers. So we might get a rematch of last year's second round matchup. I know we can't get ahead of ourselves, but what are you thinking about the other side and the possibility of that?
See, that's a tough one because the Indiana Pacers are built to run the Knicks down into the ground. When you consider how many players they can just put out on the floor, the Pacers will go out there and put 11 guys on the floor, and the Knicks will go out there and play 8 or 9 at most, right? So when it comes to that type of matchup, that's where things start to get tricky because at the end of the day, you can't fake depth, right? And as much as you want to say these guys are built to play 40, 50 minutes, it's different when you're cycling in fresh bodies every 6 or 7 minutes and the opponent isn't, right? So that's a matchup that'd be interesting. But at the end of the day, this Knicks team has shown you they're not running away from anything. They're ready to dig in deep. So it'll be a fun series. I still got the Pacers coming out of that series. I don't think the Cavs are going to be able to come back. I thought as soon as Darius Garland wasn't available that they'd have some issues. But now their issues are kind of compounded now. I will say this. This Celtics series, even though you're up 2-0, even though history says teams that go up 2-0 are going to advance to the next round. This series isn't over by a long shot. Number one, we already touched on it. The Knicks have had trouble at home. Number two, the Celtics have to have some sort of pride, right? Having a team come through on your own home floor and kind of come back down from down 20 twice. And number three, the Knicks found themselves down 20 twice in a row, right? So if you do that again, this is a Celtics team that kind of has to learn from those mistakes. I don't think the Knicks are out of the woods just yet. But this is where coaching comes into play. The first thing Tom says yesterday is, hey, you know, we can't get too far ahead of ourselves here. We can enjoy this right now. But tomorrow, we got to act like this would never happen. We got to look at the tape, figure out ways to get better. Because as much as we want to celebrate them from coming back from down 20, this is a team that can't really continue to afford to, you know, spot teams that type of advantage. So we'll see what type of stylistic matchups, what type of stylistic changes they make. We'll see how maybe they just come out of the gate with a little more energy. But this series isn't even over remotely. This is a series that could go 7 if the Celtics get their stuff together. So we'll see what happens.
Chris, you're the man. The Knicks are up 2-0. The Knicks have to win this series now, and the Eastern Conference Finals is a potential reality if they win 2 before the Celtics win 2. Thank you for joining us tonight. You know I appreciate you.
My God. Thanks for having me, man. Anytime.
That's Christian Winfield at Chris Splashed on Twitter. New York Knicks beat writer for the New York Daily News. Him and I used to see each other. He used to cover the Brooklyn Nets. Him and I used to see each other a few years back in the Barclays Center when I was doing Nets podcasts and vlogs and stuff, and he was over there covering the Nets. And he's always been a Knicks fan from New York, and he got moved to the Knicks beat because... or drum roll, why did he get moved from the Nets to the Knicks? Because once the Nets blew everything up and lost their stars, you put the good reporter writer on the Knicks. There's nothing to report over there in Brooklyn. Why'd I stop doing the Nets podcast? You know, 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan, taking your calls till midnight. I'm here. Still rolling. About 2 hours down and 3 hours to go. 5 hour KM to AM. Joining us in about a half an hour, the 2024 Massachusetts Sports Writer of the Year, Adam Himmelsbach from the Boston Globe. You know, Connor and I were reaching out to people from Boston because obviously here in New York is an echo chamber and we're going to say the same things and tell ourselves the same things. But I always think it's a good, like, you know, it's a good exercise to get the vantage point of somebody that covers the team we're playing and is around the fans of the team. Like, they have a different view of this. I played the audio from 98.5 The Hub and their radio host. I played the audio of NBC Boston post game. I think I told you guys a couple nights ago I was listening to WEEI, our sister station in Boston, and I laughed because they were going through, like, you know, how much Jalen Brunson makes. And they were like, oh, he's massively underpaid. I'm like, did they miss the whole thing where he took less money and he's going to get another contract, whatever. But then they're like, OG Anunoby, why in the hell does OG Anunoby make this much? And then OG came out there dunking on them and balling in that first game, had like 29. So back to the conversation, man. I appreciate you guys calling and waiting and holding. Obviously, we're keeping it Knicks, but as we get later into the night, of course, we got to talk about the Mets, a big series win out at Chase Field in Arizona, the generational Juan Soto with another two-homer game, and now the Mets come back to Citi Field where they dominate, and they're going to need you out there supporting them, and they're going to need some of that good luck and mojo that they have in Flushing against the Chicago Cubs. And, of course, the Yankees go out to Sacramento against a plucky little A's team in a little minor league ballpark, and do not sleep on the A's. You know, the Yankees get a series win here. They need to follow it up going out west. And, you know, there's a lot of Cali guys on the team, so I think it'll be a good little trip for the Bronx Bombers before both teams are, you know, a week from tomorrow facing off in the Subway Series, a three-game set in the Bronx. So, you know the number to dial. Let's get back to it. Matt is in Connecticut. Matt, you're on the Fan.
What's up, kid?
What's up?
Man, a lot of the KM to AM show is all about KM. You know what I'm saying?
About Keith McPherson?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm Dolo. Like, it's just me
what
here.
What do you mean, Dolo?
Solo host, one guy.
No, but the whole, like, maybe, let's say a third of the whole program is about KM, what he's done in his life, his whole, everything you got to say about your family, everything. Listen, we're here to talk about either the Knicks.
What I say about my family?
The Yankees, or the Mets.
What I say about my family?
You say everything about what you're doing in your life. Nobody cares about that stuff. We're talking about the Mets, the Yankees, or right now.
Clearly you care. Clearly you care. You've been on hold for almost an hour. Right, you're feeling some kind of way, huh?
No, I actually waited 50 minutes, so it's not an hour.
50 minutes exactly. I didn't have the timer on you, Matt.
How much are you? Are the Nets still in the league?
Yeah, very much so.
Are they? How much are you hating on the Knicks right now, 2-0?
I'm not. Are you listening? Are you selective? Like, are you only hearing? Like, what are you hearing, bro? What are you listening to?
Well, first of all, I waste too much time listening about your family and you.
Yeah, that sounds like a personal problem. Turn the radio off. Go to bed. Go do something else.
That's not a personal problem. I'm trying to talk about the Knicks or sports.
So call up and talk about the Knicks, dum-dum.
Nobody cares about you, bro.
Come on. No one cares about me. There's a bunch of people listening. There's a bunch of people watching.
Everybody's got their own stuff to listen to.
You have to
hear that crap.
You have to. I'm a solo host.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner, and May's packed with reasons to celebrate, whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family. Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You have to give some background. I literally had somebody call and ask how I became a fan. I think that's the only time I spoke about my family or the Nets. I gave my background on how I became a fan, and I said nobody made me a fan of the teams that I root for. Is that okay, Matt?
Nobody cares. Right there, nobody cares.
No, you care. You're tight about it, huh?
No, I
You're
don't
You're big
care.
Mad, huh?
That's why I waited online so long to tell you.
Because you care. You could have done anything else, but you waited to get on WFAN.
You know why?
This show is about Keith McPherson. You damn right it is.
You know
it's my show.
You know why? Because you're KM to AM. Why do you think you have the KM to AM show? Nobody else
I earned it.
Oh, you earned it. Okay. You
yeah,
earned
I worked
it back for
the
line.
What time does your show come on? Never. A minute after never.
Matt,
a minute after never. Never. Only on the fan because I'm allowing you to speak. Go on.
Everybody, just don't. Everybody's going to hear this, Keith.
No, I know how this works, dumb. I'm telling you that. Everybody can hear this. You can record it on the free Odyssey app. You can post it on Reddit, Facebook, Twitter. Do whatever you want with it. I know what I'm doing. I'm live. They can see me. They can't see you.
Of the year, people want to hear about the Knicks. You're just a hater on the Knicks.
You're
saying if they don't win the next
two, they're
in big trouble. What are you laughing about?
I'm laughing at you because you're making yourself sound like an idiot. Literally, you sound like a clown.
Are the Nets
People
still
been
on
listening
the
to my shows every night talking about the Knicks.
No. This is my first time picking up on you because I was driving home at the time and I had nothing else better to do but put my phone on the stand and just wait till I got picked up. And it took you 50 minutes just to pick my phone call up.
Yeah, I had an interview. I had some other callers with better topics than. Think you hate on the Knicks. Come up with some better stuff, man. Come up with something better. 888-808-1019. Think before you waste 50 minutes of your time on hold and that's what you come across with. Like, I'm ready for that. I'm ready for all that type of smoke. You know how many hours as a solo host you put in on the air? This is my fourth year. Am I never going to mention my background? Am I never going to mention my family, my upbringing, how I became? You can't call and knock me KM to AM. That's why you have the KM to AM show. I have the night shift on WFAN, the number one sports station in this country. I'm a young black dude. Oh, don't say that, Keith. I earned this. I put in the work. I prepare every night a show to entertain thousands of people, Matt. If that bothers you, don't ever listen again. When I come on, you could be watching the Golden State Warriors Minnesota game. You could watch the Carolina Hurricanes, Washington Capitals game. You could listen to a podcast, listen to your favorite rap album. I don't know what you listen to, bro, but like you don't have to listen to me. That's the thing. This is free. This is free radio. You don't even have to subscribe. But you mad, huh? What you really mad at? What are you really mad at? I'm a hater. Just talk about the Knicks. Did you not just hear the whole interview while you were on hold? Dumb. Density. What goes on? But like I get it. You know, I just was talking to the chat. You know, some people just have this agenda. They predetermine things about you, whether it's the internet, and a lot of this stuff comes from the internet. You know, and I understand that. But at the same time, I literally said, like, you know, I'm a Nets fan. I don't hate the Knicks. I'm not in the coalition of Knicks haters, and like this is so much bigger than me. Did I not just say all that? But I guess I'm talking about my family and my life. Like I said, it's so much bigger than me. I'm talking to the city of New York. I'm talking to New Yorkers. I did a show last night. We took calls from San Francisco, from Phoenix, from Boston, from all over New York. People celebrating and talking about the Knicks beating the Celtics. It had nothing to do with my life or my background. I am just the host. I am just the middleman. So let's continue the show. And if any smart guys like Matt want to call in and challenge me on it, I'll be here till 12. Keith McPherson, your nighttime host, year 4 on the fan, branded this nighttime show as KM to AM because we'll be done at 12. We'll be right back.